But I'm beating down with my head through. talking about you raise your hands to the Lord. I think the pastor or sister personally, yesterday, I think it was you. Amen. When you raise your hands to the Lord, you're just saying, Lord, I totally surrender. I'm here with my hands lifted high. It's a sign of total surrender. He said, when the police comes to make arrests, he says, put your hands up. When you put both hands up, you say, I surrender. But it doesn't stay right there, though. Also, when we put our hands up, we say, Lord, I worship you. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. Amen. For this afternoon, for the testimonies that went forth, I bless the Lord for Deacon Mayberry and his family. Amen. Joining us once again. And thank God for your service to the Lord and for your worship and your testimonies and just the example, amen, of just God just being there. Amen. And you praising him through it. Amen. I like when church won't come. Amen. I just like being around church folk, because if you're open to it, you can learn. You can learn from others. Amen. Amen. So we bless his name. We're going to dismiss the children to your left and my right. Amen. We're going to receive, amen, the word of God by way of our pastor, Pastor Kim. Can we greet them with a hearty? With a hearty praise the Lord.
Mercy and his kindness. Amen. You know, they sing a song, consume me with your fire.
Yes.
Burn in my heart.
Yes.
Amen. With my hand up high. I know most of us don't have too many problems with our hands high.
Amen.
We say with tears, those tears be, Lord, you touched me.
Yes.
Lord, you moved on me. Amen. I don't care if you're male or female, God touched you. Amen. He said, with tears in my eyes, I cry. Lord, consume me with your fire. And as Gio was singing this song about the King of Glory, amen. You know, a lot of times when people run their aisles and they shout and they run, sometimes they run to be seen.
Yes.
But when he came back, he had tears in his eyes.
Yes.
So I knew he was real. Can we say hallelujah? Can we say hallelujah? And, you know, when you run and you can come back and just look around, it's different. But when you have a touch from God, amen. Church ought to be really church. I think we've learned to play church. You know, Cheryl Caesar used to sing a song, they used to play church. Remember growing up, we used to play church? I know all my kids play church. We all play church. Amen. But we live in a day and age, but we need to stop playing church. We need to really have church. Amen. We need to let the Spirit of the Lord move on us. Playing church. If you do play church, you'll say, Lord, after a while, I want to stop playing. Let your spirit,
yes,
let your spirit rest on me. So can we just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to ask you all to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Amen. It's not playing church. Right? I wish that should have been my message, but amen. A lot of people come to church, they do all the stuff in church that look like church, but it's only on the outside. It never touches the spirit, it never touches the soul, never reaches down in their arms, amen. So Paul told Timothy, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth into all things. So when you come to church, and you really have a church, you get a hold of God, you get some profit. Amen. You won't leave church like you came in. Amen. But if you just come here going through the motions, playing church. Amen. Lord, I don't want to play church. When I was a child, I played church because I didn't understand the law. Amen.
Amen.
But when I became an adult, Paul said, I put away childish things. I don't play church now. When I come before God, I'm always real. Can we say real?
Real.
Amen. Brother C.A. Carraway used to sing a song and said, Lord, whatever I do for you, Jesus, just let it be real. If I sing, Lord,
amen.
Amen. If I play an instrument, let it be real. If I testify, Lord, let it be real. If I usher, Lord, let it be real. Whatever I do for you, Jesus, can we say just let it be real? Amen. And I'm afraid many times in church we've learned to play the part. But depart never gets a heart of my spirit. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. So we're going to read from Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Amen. We all have it. Can we just say praise the Lord?
Praise
for those that don't have it, it should be on the screen. Verse 1 reads, and unto the angel of the... So this message is to the who? Church and Sardis. Right. These things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and
repent.
How can the church repent? Who is he writing to? Church. He said, hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear. Does anybody have an ear? He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we bless your name today. Lord, our ears are open. Lord, our hearts are open. Lord, we're having a separate moment in this time, and our hearts desire to speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Speak, Lord, for thy servant needeth a word. Speak, Lord, hallelujah, for only you know the future. So, Lord, we ask you to send the word today, for your word declares that you sent your word and it healed, it's delivered, and it's set free. Lord, we need a word today. And we acknowledge at this time that without you, we can't do nothing. Lord, except you watch the house, the watchman watches but in vain. Lord, except you build the house, we build but in vain. But Lord, our eyes are fixed on thee, O God. And our help and our dependency is on thee. For that we say, Lord, send the word. Can we say, send the word? For this we thank you, can the church say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Lord, send the word. Hallelujah. As I said, I believe we have learned to do the mechanics of church. Amen. Any of y'all ever see a robot? Y'all ever see a robot? All you do with a robot, you program a robot, and the robot just goes through the motions. Because a robot has no emotions. A robot has no feelings. So you can program a robot, and a robot can go so far, but a robot can't enter into the spiritual world of the emotions. Amen. So we have to be so careful in church that we're not spiritual robots. That we go so far, but we don't go into the world of the emotions. Amen. So I said on a few weeks ago, we were reading from Revelation chapter 3. Now don't ask me how we got here. All I can tell you is the Lord brought us here. We begin the Laodicean church. And I said, when God deals with churches, he deals with the church according to their culture. When God deals with us, amen, and this is why as saints sometimes we mess up, because we try to bring other saints into our culture. Amen. God deals with you within your culture. Can we say praise the Lord? Well, when he's dealing with the church of Sardis, it's important when he says that he said you have a name that you're living, but you are, but you're dead. All right. And then he tells him in the second verse, he says, be watchful and strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Verse 3 says, remember therefore now how thou hast First of all, when you hear the word, you have to receive the word of the word of God with meekness, because it's aimed to what? Save your. So we have to receive the engrafted word. So now you have received, and now you have. That word have I hid in my heart. Why? Because I received it and I heard it. Amen. And hold fast. And how? Who is he writing to? The church. And he's telling the church needs to repent. Amen. And he says, if thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So now when you read that, it just seems like it's a typical part of the scripture. But then when you do research on the city of Sardis, you realize that God is dealing with them according to their culture. Because this is not just their culture, but their history. Because the city of Sardis was founded in the 500 BC, amen, by King Croesus. And Croesus had established his kingdom in Sardis. And Sardis was built on a mountaintop. And the thing about this mountain, it was a stone mountain, so it was built on a stone mountain. Three sides were all stones. And there was only one way to get up. It was a citadel, an acropolis, which means it was a fortress. It was a mighty place. It was fortified. So no one could get through to this Sardis at this time. At that time, the name was Lydia, and it became Sardis later. But no one could enter attack them because they were up on a mountain high. And according to history, three sides around Sardis was 800 foot of just granite stone. So there's no way to attack them on any of the three sides. So they always had a watch people on the side that they could attack. And they were so comfortable in their way that they said, we don't even need a watch. So the first thing he tells them to do what? Watch. They said, we don't need a watch. We don't have to worry about anything because no one can attack us unless they come up through this one way, the only way. And now, you know, if you have a narrow way to get up, they said, we can see them coming and we can destroy the enemy. So they became comfortable. They became lax. They stopped watching. So it reminds you of David when he went to conquer Jerusalem by Mount Zion. When they teased David because Zion was also on the hill. He said, we put the lame, the halt, the blind. David, you can't even attack this city because we're on a stone place. And there's no way that you can get through. But how many know if God be for you, who then can be against you? So David told them, he said, whoever conquers, or he whoever able to penetrate Zion, he said, I will make them chief. I'll make them number one. So Joab studied the city for a long time. How many know that's what the devil does to the church?
Right.
Amen. He is studying for a long time. So Joab studied the city for a long time, and he realized, he said, you know what? They have to get water. There was a conduit that brought water up to the city. So what Joab, I'm just, remember this because I'm coming back to Sardis. But I'm just showing you how nothing is impenetrable. Enough can be impossible to be attacked if God is with you. Amen?
Amen.
So Joab studied the city and he realized, he said, you know, the only way that we can conquer Zion is we need to go up through the conduit that drains the water. So we need to shut off the water. But they were so comfortable up in Zion, which is now Jerusalem. They didn't even watch. They put the halt, the maim, and the lame and the blind up on the wall. They said, David, you can't even attack this city. Hallelujah. But Joab shut off the water. And because they weren't watching, David and Joab and his men came up through the conduit of water because they weren't watching, because they got so comfortable and they felt as though nothing could attack them. But if God be for you, God will thank you. They even said about when the Titanic, they said the Titanic was so strong that even God couldn't sink it. You gotta watch out when you mess with God. Because there is nothing impossible for God. So Joab went up and attacked Zion He called Cyrus God's anointed. But he said, I'm going to call a man to be my anointed even though he don't even know me. So before Cyrus is even born, God surnamed him Cyrus. Amen. And he said unto Cyrus, if you read it in that 45th chapter, he said, you're going to find treasures. You're going to find secrets. All right, so this is, I'm building up to what happened in Sardis. So Cyrus had surrounded Sardis around 549 B.C. Amen. And they studied the city, but no one could penetrate the city. So it just so happened that one night, because remember he said, I come on you like a thief. So one night, when all the watch had gone to sleep, they left one soldier out to watch the city. And as history tells the story, as a soldier watched the city, he fell asleep. And when he fell asleep, his helmet fell and went down the hill. So the soldier, not realizing that Cyrus and his army was studying him, they watched him. But there was a secret passageway that they didn't realize. And they saw that the soldier came down and got his helmet and went back up through the secret passageway. But Cyrus was not watching. Cyrus had got comfortable. Cyrus fell as though, we don't have to worry because nobody can attack this city. So Cyrus watched, and his men watched as a man descended through the secret passageway and got his helmet and went back up. And then, while everybody was asleep, they attacked and took over the city of Sardis, and the rest is history. So the Lord is writing to the church of Sardis, and he's telling them according to your past culture. He says, thou hast a name that thou livest. That word name really means you got a reputation. You got a reputation that you are alive for God. Now who's he writing to? The church. He tells the church, you have a name that you're living, but you are dead. But he tells them, I know your works. So Sardis was not a lazy church. Amen. Sardis was not a church that wasn't active. The problem with Sardis is that they were an active church, but they weren't doing it according to the scriptures and according to the word of God. Because in Sardis, they had a pagan god by the name of Cybele. And what they believed that Cybele was the god of the dead, and that Cybele could bring dead bodies back to life. Remember that you think you're alive, but you are dead. Because he's dealing with them according to their culture. He's dealing with them according to how they think. But the problem was, because Cybele was a pagan god, they weren't worshiping God according to the truth. He told the children of Israel in the book of Jeremiah, he said, you were holiness unto the Lord. Amen. At one time, the church of Sardis was holiness unto the Lord. But because of Cybele, and Cybele was replaced by Artemis, which was a great temple, which was also the temple of Diana. So what Sardis had started doing is they had began to miss pagan practices in with Christianity. Sound like some of the churches today? I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, but I'm just saying, how can you be alive and dead? Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So they began to mix pagan practices with Christianity. They were busy for God. They were busy working for God. But God told them, he said, but you have a reputation. Yes, Sardis, we remember that you were a city of wealth. You were a city of prominence. Back in the old time, you were somebody. But you can't live off your past laurels. You can't live off of what you used to do, Sardis. So right now, Sardis, you're mixing up holiness with the world. You are defiling the body. He said, so you have a name that you're living, a reputation that you're alive, he said, but you are dead. So he tells them in the second verse, be watchful. That Greek word watchful means wake up. Right? Who is he writing to? The church. He tells the church they need to wake up. So our message today is a spiritual wake-up call for the church. not a wake-up call, but you can wake up anybody in the church. But we're talking about a spiritual wake-up call. So the question is, how can you be in church and you be alive, and God look at you and say, but you are dead? How can you be alive and dead at the same time? Because you are alive unto the world, but you're dead unto God. He tells him at the end of the second verse, I have not found thy works perfect before God. So yes, you're in church. Yes, you're not sure. Yes, you're on this choir and the praise team. Yes, you're on the choir. Yes, God is using you. Yes, you have a title. Yes, you have a name. God said, but you're dead. Because I don't recognize what you're doing. Your works are not perfect before me. So I believe the church. I said the church. How can the church need to repent? Because we are mixing the world.
But if you don't do it in charity, it costs you nothing. Hallelujah. carry in poverty. So I have all the spiritual understanding. I understand the mysteries of the Bible. I have favor so I can move mountains. He said, but if you don't have charity, if you're not coming with the right motive, it profits you nothing. He said, well, I give my tithe, my offering. I give my body to be burned. He said, but if you don't do it with the right motives, it profits you nothing. Why? Because God said you're doing it, but your works are not perfect before God. So we need a wake up call. Can we say wake up call? Can we say wake up call? Why do I need a wake up call? Too many of us are going through the motion. I come to church, but I get to church when I feel like it. God said, wake up. Hallelujah. Because you represent me. You represent the best of me. Hallelujah. I come to church 5 minutes late because my own fault of it. God said, wake up. If I miss church because I don't feel like going, God said, wake up. Well, why do you need to wake up? Because you have a name that you're living, but you are dead. He said, you need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to get it together. Look at somebody say, get it together.
Thank you.
He says, how can I pull away out of?
Yeah.
How can the church be a seed? All right, I just want to go over something here. I know it's almost time to go. Let's go to, can I just go to a couple of verses? Because a lot of people in church, God is not well pleased. Because we're going through all the emotions. We are busy working. Now, the church of Sardis was busy working. But they weren't doing it according to God's prescription. They weren't doing it according to God's word. The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. And what that friendship means is it means to be an ad blend or be a mixture. We cannot mix the world with the church. I'm preaching, and you can live however you want to. I don't have to judge you. But God does. Amen. So today, church people, I'm aligned with my church. Male and female. I'm aligned with my church. Because I was holiness, and I still am holiness. You know what? So a lot of us can say, I was holiness. But now I'm not holiness. Because when you're like the world, that means there's an admixture. There's a blend. In other words, you have the best of both worlds. God said, I don't recognize the world because that's my enemy. I only recognize the church. Are you with me?
Yes.
So when I dress, I don't care who put the fashion down. If it ain't holiness,
all right.
I'm with it. If it ain't God, I can't win. Well, why can't you win? Because I was holiness and I still am holiness. So now he said today, you can listen to all that kind of music because it don't matter. You it's your choice. I was holiness. The Bible said, let us sing to ourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs.
Be holy.
When we begin to lose our holiness standards, God begins to call that a dead church. Sardis was alive. Sardis had been very busy for God, but they lost their holiness. So when God looked at Sardis, they were still in this, they were still in church. They were still doing the work, but God said, you're still dead. Why? Because he said, you brought stuff in that's not in my word. Right? So today the thing is, well, I don't want to be like this. And listen, I want to be what God wants me to be. Can we see pretty close? So let's go to Ephesians the 5th chapter. I'm just going to hit this last one for a minute. Alright? Because the world is having greater influence on the church than God. But we say we are alive. God said, how can you be alive when you look like the world? How can you be alive? God says, when I put the world, do this. Sometimes when you go to work, do this. Go to work and stand by somebody that's unsaved. Y'all stand in the mirror. Don't let them know what you're doing. Honestly, do this. Because we ought to be holiness unto who? The Lord. So stand in the mirror. Look at them. And look at you. Honestly. Right? Because we're supposed to be alive unto who? God. So you look at the world and you look at you. Wow. I cannot tell different. That's why the Bible says, examine yourself. Judge yourself. So now when I begin to judge, So you know what? Every once in a while, just record the world talking. The world talking. Now I'll tell you, any of y'all that text me, I'm gonna tell you, the reason I don't do the I don't know those acronyms. All the acronyms? Oh, yeah, like a lot of people say, praise the Lord, they put PTL, I put praise the Lord.
All right.
Just put it all there. Because I don't want to start, now this is no indictment, I'm talking about me. Can I talk about me? So thank you, Jesus, T-Y. Somebody sent me T-Y-J, I don't even know what it is. What is that? What is a T-Y-J? I had to ask my kid, what's T-Y-J? Thank you, Jesus. How am I thank you, Jesus? I'm like, you know what? This is listen, we are the church. Our communication should be different. Honestly. Right? So when they say it's gotta be somebody, you don't never put no shortcuts. I don't put no shortcuts. Myself, right? Think you are, I don't know who you are. You are something. Are you, are, and something? No, somebody said, man, you are something. Like, what in the world? I said, the false things say words? You know what? Listen, church, we see a lot of church. So just because it's a shortcut for the world, we don't have to change. Just because they got ebonics, don't mean the church has to practice ebonics. Because we represent the best of God. Ebonics shows that you have a lower mentality. Right? Honestly. So we're trying to get dignified, intelligent people saved, and we use all these shortcuts.
All right, that's no charge. Come on, man.
So any of y'all that know y'all like me, I write y'all, I don't put no shortcuts. You know why? Because I don't want the world to start influencing how I think. Yes. Amen. I told you all last week. I still try to remember everybody's number that I deal with on a regular basis. Because I don't want my phone to crash. The world says just put it in Google Cloud or iCloud or that cloud. I put it in my own cloud. Because we need to be different. But listen, let me finish up here in Ephesians chapter 5. You all still with me?
Amen.
Wake up. Spiritually. Don't let the world put have a greater influence on you than God. So Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read just a few verses, starting with verse 11. Now we're coming out to be what? Different.
We want to wake up all what? Spiritually. Amen. Now, I'm not condemning anybody. But you ought to examine yourself. Well, I want to examine myself, Pastor. How do I examine myself? If it ain't in here, just don't do it. That's all I know, right? So I've had pastors ask me, why do you do this? And why don't you do that? I said, I didn't mean in the word. But it's all right. No, it ain't all right. Because right? This is what the Bible said. Verse 11 said, and have no fellowship. If you have fellowship, that means you're involved. Right? Fellowship. Right? The apostles, after the day of Pentecost, they continued in fellowship. Right? Fellowship. So fellowship is in. Now, you're gathering together. Have no fellowship with the works of darkness. Who is he talking to? The church. Wait a minute. We should know the difference between what is God and what is not God. We should know church and know the difference between the church and the world. Have no fellowship with the awful works of darkness, but rather, well, you don't want to be offensive. Yes, you do want to be. Minister Simon said, who do you want to offend? God or people? Now, I don't want to offend nobody. You want to, but you want to tolerate sin? And God's not happy? I don't want to offend. We got a priest called the Bible saying you love the sinner, but you don't love the sin. Jesus loved the sinner, but he didn't love the sinner. He told I think it was Herod, he said, you white fox. They said, oh, Master, he was offended because of you. Jesus is still the truth. So sometimes we need to speak the truth because we're the light of the world. So people around us are going to hell because we like the world. But he said, have no fellowship with our fruitful work in darkness, but rather the truth, for anything. You won't do it in church. If you don't do it in church, then don't do it out of church. Are you all with me? If you don't do it with the saints around, then don't do it when the saints ain't around. Can we say praise the Lord? Well, I was with my family too, but my family know I draw the line. I draw the line. Right now, I draw the line. When I go with my family, oh yeah, but you know, you're a preacher, you don't do this. I said, you got that right. I'm a preacher, I don't do that. Because I draw the line. So if I go somewhere, and I go with my family, when they start getting into all that happy stuff and all that other stuff that ain't in church, goodbye world, I stay in the alone with you. Goodbye pleasure to see you. I stay in the alone with you. I made up my mind. Listen.
Aside King Bacchus, like they go down to Mardi Gras. This is what he's talking about. These are those secret societies. These are those sororities and fraternities. These are those things they do in secret. Right? And those long little minutes, we're going to bring it out more. I just couldn't do it because I stopped my notes at page 7, but I got 10 more pages in the office. All right, so we do that long little on Wednesday. Right? It's just a shame what they do in the dark. But all things are
reproved.
No, verse 13.
Reproved.
All things are reproved or made by the
light.
Who is the light? We are the light of the world. So when we go in darkness, and this is a thing we should consider. When I go in the world is darkness. But I am light. Right? So years ago, just to show you how life worked, years ago in Vietnam, when the soldiers were over there fighting, it would be pitch black. And if they lit a cigarette up, they were finished. My father heard him tell the story. People just could not get away from that nicotine fit. In the pitch black, all they did was lit up cigarette. Time they lit it, sniper, boom. Because it was dark. So even in the pitch black, that light still shines. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and darkness comprehended me not. Well, let me finish. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 14 said, wherefore he says, awake thou that
sleepeth.
Who is he talking to?
Church.
Awake thou that sleepeth.
Yes.